In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Well, William.
Hello, hello.
We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
As we were working on the intro for this and I was getting the videos, I was thinking that we don't have a lot of veterans in our family, although we know a fair number of them. And I sure am thankful for those that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we don't have a lot of personal attachment to the military or military service. That doesn't mean we don't respect it.
That's right. Can't pay
it the appropriate amount of the appropriate dues.
Yes, sir. You know, every year at Remembrance Day, I feel a somberness. It's not your average everyday holiday. It is not a day you have to go out and go shopping. It's not a day you have to go out kill a turkey. It's a day to remember somebody who died for something. And so I never really approach it the same way as other holidays. And I don't know if that is just as I get older, I get more sentimental or what.
Well, I think because it's not, while it is a celebration of their service, it's also, there's a certain amount of mourning to it as well. Because you can celebrate what they did, but you still have to mourn the loss. I mean, people gave up their lives, so I believe that a certain amount of melancholy is rightfully deserved and has its place in Remembrance Day.
I think so. I think you're right.
Well, welcome to the table, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this particular episode with a bit of a special theme, in case you hadn't noticed. Small content warning for the episode. Obviously, we're going to be talking about war to some extent, a particular person's experience as a POW to a small degree as well. So there's some mature subject matter, but nothing particularly egregious. Yeah. So do you want to tell everyone who we're talking about today, Dad?
Yes. So earlier on this week, I had laid out all the outline for the show. It was all arranged for topics and whatnot. And I got a call from Will. He said, "Hey Dad, I've been thinking." He said, "What do you think about John McCain?" And I said, "I hadn't thought about him much. What do you mean?" And he said, "Have you heard the speech he gave in 2008 when he lost the election?" And, I had to admit that I'm sure I watched it live, but I haven't heard it in a number of years. And so I went back and I listened to it, and it's inspiring, especially in the time we're in now.
Yeah. And to give some connective tissue here, John McCain was a veteran and was also a POW for, I believe, just a little bit over 6 years. During the Vietnam War and after the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't think of a better time between that and between the election that we're dealing with right now. I can't think of a better person to be an exemplar of what we can aspire to be and what we can aspire to. I think he's a good standard to hold our current politicians to. I believe we need to have a higher standard, and I believe John McCain sets the bar very high, possibly unreasonably high, but I still think that current politicians could learn a lot from what he did, 12 years ago.
Right.
And so we want to kind of dissect that a little bit today and look deeper into it.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to play that speech. It's long. We will interrupt it a few times as we go through and maybe make a couple comments. You know, we looked at edited versions of it, and I vetoed the edited versions as there just were so many really good things that he said that I didn't want to lose any of them.
Yeah, brevity has its place, but in this particular case, I think you made the right call. We need to hear all of it.
Yes, we're going to run right into this video by John McCain, and I have a few notes here where we're going to just hit the pause button and have a chat about who he was and what he was saying.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, my friends. Thank you for coming here on this beautiful Arizona evening. My friends, we have come to the end of a long journey. The American people have spoken, and they have spoken clearly. A little while ago, I had the honor of calling Senator Barack Obama to congratulate him. Please. To congratulate him on being elected the next president of the country that we both love. In a contest as long and difficult as this campaign has been, his success alone commands my respect for his ability and perseverance for me.
Can we pause there for half a second?
I wish.
Yep.
So, I just want to, right off the hop, I just want to throw a spotlight on, as soon as he brings up his opponent, obviously the crowd, the people who voted for McCain, are obvious, they're very clearly upset, and that's fine. But McCain, he's not there to crap on Obama. He's there to lift them up, to point out that in this contest, though he was bested, he's showing right out of the gate, he's showing respect for his running opponent.
Right.
Right out of the gate. And he expects that of his followers as well. Like, that's just class.
Yeah, I watched this, and it's early on in the speech, and I saw when the boos all began, and he raised his hands, and he said, no, and I just thought, man, we could learn something from that in the political climate today.
Really, truly, we could.
Success alone commands my respect for his ability and perseverance, but that he managed to do so by inspiring the hopes of so many millions of Americans who had once wrongly believed that they had little at stake or little influence in the election of an American president is something I deeply admire and commend him for achieving. This is an historic election, and I recognize the special significance it has for African Americans and for the special pride that must be theirs tonight. I've always believed that America offers opportunities to all who have the industry and will to seize it. Senator Obama believes that too. But we both recognize that though we have come a long way from the old injustices that once stained our nation's reputation and denied some Americans the full blessings of American citizenship, the memory of them still had the power to wound. A century ago, President Theodore Roosevelt's invitation of Booker T. Washington to dine at the White House was taken as an outrage in many quarters. America today is a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time. There is no better evidence of this than the election of an African American to the presidency of the United States. Let there be no reason now.
I'm gushing over Mr. McCain right now. And I just noticed something for the first time. He had this memorized. He's not reading this off a script. He's not looking at a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Like,
I hadn't noticed.
He took the time. he took the time to craft this, or his speechwriters took the time to craft this, and he took the time to memorize it. On the off chance that he lost, he still had these things to say, and these uplifting and unifying words. He came into defeat admiring the strength of the person that defeated him rather than any other like smorgasbord of negative things he could have talked about.
Right. I have lots to say, but I think I'll wait till the end to say my piece because it sort of feeds into
okay. it. So. Okay.
Let there be no reason now for any American to fail to cherish their citizenship in this, the greatest nation on earth. Senator Obama has achieved a great thing for himself and for his country. I applaud him for it and offer him my sincere sympathy that his beloved grandmother did not live to see this day. Though our faith assures us she is at rest in the presence of her Creator and so very proud of the good man she helped raise. Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country, and I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together, to find the necessary compromises to bridge our differences and help restore our prosperity, defend our security in a dangerous world, and leave our children and grandchildren a stronger, better country than we inherited.
So I just have to say something there, Will. This is the loser in an election who's asking for unity, who's pleading for those who voted for him to support the other side.
This was only 12 years ago. This is just over a decade ago.
Yeah.
How far we have fallen.
You know, I was thinking the other day, and a part of this is because of the personalities of one side of the election this year. But even in the last election, the vitriol was
intense.
Yeah. And it was about the person, not the ideas. And he acknowledges the difference in ideas. And yet there is a respect for the person that it just amazes me.
Yeah.
Whatever our differences, we are fellow Americans. And please believe me when I say no association has ever meant more to me than that. It is natural. It's natural tonight to feel some disappointment. But tomorrow, we must move beyond it and work together to get our country moving again. We fought as hard as we could. And though we fell short, the failure is mine, not yours.
Okay, I just want to interject. Just a moment of personal responsibility.
What a novel idea.
Yeah. You know, all snarkiness aside, have we seen a politician in recent years assume that kind of responsibility? I can't remember one.
He's not even taking it for himself. Like it's not his own responsibility that he's taking. He's taking it from everyone. He's taking that collective failure and putting it on his own shoulders. Yeah. I don't say failure as a negative. I just mean the fact that they didn't win the election. He's putting it out there that it is not his voter base's fault for just not doing enough.
There are
it's a lot him for not representing them well enough.
There are a lot who blame the pick of Sarah Palin. And I think if you hear him in this, he may think that, I don't know.
But he'll never say it.
He won't say it publicly. And that is,
yeah,
it's a sign of greatness.
It really is.
I am so. So deeply grateful to all of you for the great honor of your support and for all you have done for me. I wish the outcome had been different, my friends. The road was a difficult one from the outset, but your support and friendship never wavered. I cannot adequately express how deeply indebted I am to you. I am especially grateful to my wife, Cindy, my children, my dear mother, my dear mother, and all my family, and to the many old and dear friends who have stood by my side through the many ups and downs of this long campaign. I have always been a fortunate man, and never more so for the love and encouragement you have given me. You know, campaigns are often harder on a candidate's family than on the candidate, and that's been true in this campaign. All I can offer in compensation is my love and gratitude and the promise of more peaceful years ahead.
Do you think we could have a promise for more peaceful years ahead, Will?
Would I believe it?
I'm
too cynical.
I can't imagine a peaceful time in the next 4 years, and I can't imagine that either candidate is looking forward to a peaceful 4 years either.
I'm so deeply entrenched at this point in my cynicism in general, but specifically in regards to politics, that listening to this and trying to be critical of it, I feel like I'm watching something out of Hollywood that I should be critiquing. I should be sticking up my nose, being like that's not real. That kind of thing just doesn't happen. And it did. It really, truly did.
It did.
I am also, of course, very thankful to Governor Sarah Palin, one of the best campaigners I've ever seen. One of the best campaigners I have ever seen, and an impressive new voice in our party for reform and the principles that have always been our greatest strength. Her husband Todd and their five beautiful children, for their tireless dedication to our cause and the courage and grace they showed in the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. We can all look forward with great interest to her future service to Alaska, the Republican Party, and our country. To all my campaign comrades, from Rick Davis and Steve Schmidt and Mark Salter, to every last volunteer who fought so hard and valiantly month after month in what at times seem to be the most challenged campaign in modern times. Thank you so much. A lost election will never mean more to me than the privilege of your faith and friendship. I don't know what more we could have done to try to win this election. I'll leave that to others to determine. Every candidate makes mistakes, and I'm sure I made my share of them. But I won't spend a moment of the future regretting what might have been. This campaign was and will remain the great honor of my life. And my heart is filled with nothing but gratitude for the experience and to the American people for giving me a fair hearing before deciding that Senator Obama and my old friend, Senator Joe Biden, should have the honor of leading us for the next 4 years.
You deserve more!
Please. Please.
You know, I don't know where our viewers lean as far as Joe Biden goes. But to hear the praise from John McCain, a man who I did admire, and I admire even more after hearing this speech, maybe a few years ago, but it gives me a little bit of credence that he's not as bad as perhaps some want to make him out to be.
Yeah. That endorsement from McCain goes a long ways.
It does. It does.
I would not be an American worthy of the name should I regret a fate that has allowed me the extraordinary privilege of serving this country for a half a century. Today, I was a candidate for the highest office in the country I love so much. And tonight, I remain her servant. That is blessing enough for anyone, and I thank the people of Arizona for it. Tonight, more than any night, I hold in my heart nothing but love for this country and for all its citizens. Whether they supported me or Senator Obama, I wish Godspeed to the man who was my former opponent and will be my president. And I call on all Americans, as I have often in this campaign, to not despair of our present difficulties, but to believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history. Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all very much.
Well, Will. What are you thinking?
I'm kind of at a loss for words, which is an odd feeling for me. But that was such an intensely empowering speech. Even now, over a decade later, I listened to it and I can't help. I'm not even American, for Pete's sake, and I can't help but swell with pride at everything that America is and can be. Like, and that was the person who lost the election, and they filled me with that patriotic fire. That was an absolutely transcendent speech. Like, that was incredible.
You know, I see it a little bit differently, although I agree with the accolades. For me, it was a humble speech. It was amazingly very humble. And when I think of the majority of those in power in politics, humble is not usually the word we associate with them.
It's true. And that applies to both sides.
Yeah.
I don't think humility is in very good supply these days.
So I am sure that there are people who work with John McCain on a daily basis who said, oh, he could be a jerk, or he could be this, he could be that. Mm-hmm. And that may be. I mean, I don't know the man personally, obviously. I mean, I'm not a confidant of the family. You know, I'm nothing like that. I am strictly an observer from a public viewpoint. And I think, what an example. What an example.
Yeah. If, yeah. So, before I gush any more about John McCain, well, I am still going to gush about him, but I want to give a tiny little bit of backstory. Because I feel like not only admiring that speech and drawing parallels what we would love to see in politics today, I was going to rattle off some facts about him. Because I feel like it just adds extra depth and context. Oh, there we go. We got it. We got a picture of young John McCain. So let's start with the fact that he was a handsome devil. That jawline is immaculate.
Who do you say he reminds you of?
I don't say he reminds me of Tom Cruise, but I feel if they ever made a movie about his time in Vietnam, they would cast Tom Cruise.
I'm thinking so.
I don't think that Tom Cruise deserves it, but I do think that they will cast him. So yeah, on that note, so he served in the Vietnam War with the Navy, and he was a POW for just over 6 years, which is that is impressive in and of itself, without a doubt. But the part that really gets me is because of his military and political connections due to his family. His family was longtime service members. He was offered release as a POW ahead of his place in line. I'm not sure exactly how POW release goes, but I assume there's a scheduling for how quickly they're released and when they get shipped back home. And he was offered to get bumped up the line, and he turned it down. Like, I can only imagine the conditions that he was living in Vietnam as a POW, with how nasty that conflict was. Mm-hmm. And someone came and said, "Hey, we can get you out early, because your daddy knows people." And he's like, "Yeah, my daddy can wait. Send Jim Bob here to my left. He's supposed to go first." That is a depth of character we do not see anymore.
I don't know what to say. I should put you back on the other screen, because I'm not sure. I mean, I can't argue. This is supposed to be a show where we argue and we end up as friends, but we... In this episode, I don't think we're going to find any argument on any of these topics, but, because he's an amazing man.
And I think that was what, when I saw that speech, because I got the speech and as you said, I called you and I was like, "Dave, I'm having a Smith moment. I want to change plans at the last minute and veer in a totally different direction, because we made this show to argue about things." And I see the speech and I think to myself, right now, this particular moment in this particular climate, there's enough people arguing. We could take a break from arguing to talk about something that we just unanimously can come together on.
I agree.
In appreciating John McCain and his work, and in looking at his work, trying to extrapolate how we can reflect some of his ideals in today's climate. Yeah, it's, oh, hey, more pictures of John. Gosh, he looks good in a Navy uniform. It makes me want to switch sides sometime, but just, we need more people like him.
So I'm going to turn that around a little bit. I think we need to be more like him.
That too.
I think in our conversations with our neighbor, our conversations with the person who we work with, our conversation with the police officer who pulls us over because we're speeding and he's wearing a Biden shirt or t-shirt or whatever, you making stuff up and it isn't going well here, Will. But we need to have more respect for others, have more respect for others' opinions. We don't have to agree. We just have to respect one another. And that's what I gathered in this speech. And again, that was my takeaway, was that we need to be more like John McCain in our everyday dealings. And eventually, it may take years, but eventually it will filter to the top, because it sure as heck isn't filtering from the top down.
I would certainly hope not. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to give the impression when I'm saying all these things and saying we expect this of our politicians. I don't want anyone to think that I think that I'm already on that level, because Lord knows I'm not. As you say, it's not just politicians I want to hold to that higher standard. It's myself that I want to hold to that standard.
Well, and that is, I mean, honestly, Will, I'm going to give you a plug here. That was the whole reason for this show.
Mm-hmm.
is to disagree with honor, and to disagree and not to hate the person, but to disagree with the idea or the issue.
Yeah.
And that it was before we even envisioned an episode with John McCain and his concession speech. That was the impetus. And so I think you were on the way. I think that we were on the way to this idea a month and a half or 2 months ago, and said, "Hey, that's why don't we do something that is, which would lay out these ideas."
Mm-hmm.
And then you came up with this, and I'm like, wow, yeah, we can do this, because it's already there's an example already there of how to do it.
Yeah, it really does fit within the ethos of what we want to do.
It does.
If anything, I think he could easily be the poster child for the podcast, although I doubt his estate would necessarily be flattered if we asked.
They may not like that.
They may not approve.
But I may add his name in the description because it'll get more hits on YouTube.
Hey, there we go. See, that picture has the Tom Cruise energy, or they're like that. It's like if Tom Cruise and Richard Greer, what's his name? From Runaway Bride.
Greer.
Yeah, Greer. If Tom Cruise and Greer had a child,
yeah.
I think that's about what it would have looked like.
That's possible.
Except John McCain was way cooler than either of them.
You know, I watched the speech, Will, and I was looking up a little bit of history on Sarah Palin. I have some friends who live up in Alaska, who actually are near Palmer, and I was talking online with one of them. Now, this was a long time ago, and this was in the times. I don't even know if there was high-speed internet. Okay, we were it was in a Yahoo group, and we were...
Yeah. You're dating talking, yourself there, Dave.
Yeah, we were talking about the election in 2008. And one of the comments was, I know Sarah Palin. I met her. This is one of my friends up there. She's nothing like what you see on TV. And that always hit me that I wonder if we look at Obama and we look at McCain and we look at Sarah Palin and we look at Joe Biden and even Trump, how much of that image is created and how much is actually
to win
them?
Votes.
Right.
Yeah.
Or to not win votes in the case of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Because they were saying that her image was manufactured.
Mm.
And I wonder, not either side, I don't want to point a finger to either side because I think they both do it.
I think you're right.
That the image in the media that we hear and see and is hammered into us every day, how much of it is real? You know, when I think
they're
of
just
Obama,
people.
You know, I think of Obama, and I always have said this, and people sort of, they don't agree with me often, but I thought he was an honorable man.
Yeah.
I think you look at his family, you look at his life, I think he's an honorable dude. I would go have coffee with Obama long before I would go have coffee with Trump or Biden. You know, he seems like a guy I would love as a next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is something that when I look at it, at those around us, who do you want to be neighbors with? And are they looking at you and saying, well, he's a jerk. I don't want to be neighbors with him because, you know, every time a leaf falls in his yard, he's going to sue me because I have to rake it. You know, that sort of thing. is that the arena that we find ourselves in where we hate each other over the ideas that we hold? I heard
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
You go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead. It's me. It's my mind. I'm even going to do this because I can.
Oh.
I heard this idea
Big
the
man
other
on
day,
stage.
And I liked the idea. They were saying that if we can learn that if we don't agree, it does not mean that we don't like. And the lack of agreement does not mean a lack of appreciation for the person. And I hung on that. I like that. There's lots of things with a lot of people that I don't agree with, and I still think they're cool people.
Yeah. Like there was in another speech that I watched, and it's far too long to put in this video, but at John McCain's funeral.
Yes.
He asked President Obama to speak at his funeral and to deliver a eulogy. And in that, Obama talked about how him and McCain would meet in the Oval Office regularly, mm-hmm. and they would not agree on anything. They would fight over everything under the sun. But that's why he had him there. He had him there because he enjoyed his company, because he enjoyed his friendship, even though they could not agree on things. And I saw that parallel growing up between you and Pastor Jack Thiessen.
Yes.
I saw you guys do that. You guys disagreed on everything under the sun. You disagreed on the way he had a machine that would hang him upside down to get extra blood flow to his brain. And you used to give him crap for that because you thought it was just hokey pokey bull crap. And everything under the sun, you guys would disagree about. And yet you guys were the closest of friends. Like it set such a wonderful example for us. And so, yeah, it's, as you say, it's possible to disagree and still like people.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, I have a friend of mine and he asked me the other day if I voted for Trump. And I said, I did. And he said, I didn't hear that. And I wasn't sure how to take that. I wasn't sure.
Mm.
And I still don't know. And I'm probably going to call him on it and say, okay, now what did you mean by that? As I would hope, as he voted for Biden, and that's okay. Mm. You know, I think that who we vote for, the ideas that we hold, it does not mean I can't go to your house for barbecue. At least I hope not, because he cooks
hope so.
A steak. when I look at these things and I think there are lots of my friends who voted for, who are hardcore Joe Biden voters. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It is okay. Yeah. I mean, it just is, you know, I personally feel that we lost this election. It hasn't been finalized yet, but so I'm going to go ahead. And when I look at the White House, I'm going to look at Joe Biden as my president. And mm-hmm. I won't agree with his policies. I can almost promise you that.
But he's your president.
He is my president. When I heard in John McCain's speech when he said Obama was his president, I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't imagine either side looking at Trump. Well, actually, in the last election, they said he's not my president. And I thought, man, how...
It was a sad day to be a Democrat.
Well, and a Republican, because I'm hearing the same thing in this one.
I don't want people to think that I only think negatively in that regard when it's the opposition saying he's not my president. I felt, I don't say betrayed, but disappointed in my own political party. When Trump was elected and they said, he's not my president. Of course, I was not happy that Trump was the president. Of course, I was borderline embarrassed that Trump was my president. Well, I'm Canadian, but he was my president.
He was a president and your neighbors.
He was the president.
Yeah.
Regardless, he could be embarrassing as the president. He could make terrible choices as the president. And I could demonize him. Whatever I may feel about him, he was still the president.
Right.
He still deserved the honor that post denotes.
Right.
Even if he may not have treated it with that kind of honor, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't.
Right.
Just because I see someone else not following a rule or a mandate, it doesn't mean that, now we just don't have to do that.
Right. It's, when you look at the times we're in now, and the high emotions, the high drama, the legal nonsense, and all that is happening, and you look around for somebody to lead and to lead well. I've been looking for somebody.
We're still looking.
Ever since I saw this video, and you pointed this out, I said, okay, who can I look to in the modern landscape and say, there's a person I can follow either side of the aisle?
I don't know of one currently.
I'm sure there is one. I was thinking there was one in Canada that I liked in I told you the other day.
Jack Layton?
Yeah.
Ah, nailed it.
You did. I was a fan of Jack Layton. I thought he was an amazing man. I didn't like his policies, but I thought he was a good man. Another one who I liked in Canada was the leader of the Reform Party. You remember Preston Manning?
I was too young to really care about politics at that point, but I remember the Royal Air Force clips.
Yeah, the Royal Air Force clips. The Reform Party. You know, and he was an honorable man. And when you look at, there have been people who we can look to. And I'd be happy if you guys who are watching, if you know of somebody who's in politics, who's in power, who is an honorable man, would you email it to us, info@thewillanddaveshow.com, or stick it in the comments later. As I'm looking for him, because I don't see him.
Yeah.
And I'm trying. I really am.
Small attached addendum, actually, speaking of Jack Layton, he was the first politician I ever voted for. I was 19. I didn't take any time to research any of it because I did not care. And I saw Jack Layton and I was like, huh, he has a really nice mustache and he speak nice. So I voted for him. Didn't do any good.
But you voted.
Now, in retrospect, I can be very proud of that fact.
Well, I actually am as well, because that was the year I told you, William, you need to vote. I don't care who you vote for. You just need to vote. And I was hoping, of course, that you would educate yourself. And I have sort of altered my opinion on that. I think you need to educate yourself before you vote now. But
yeah,
I was just happy that you voted. And I was one that I sort of hammered at you that year. You need to go vote. I don't even know if you're living at home then. And
I don't think I was. I think the way you put it to me then was, if you don't vote, you don't get to complain.
Yes.
So if you want the right to complain about anything that they do, you need to vote.
I say that today.
And I also say that today. I have stolen that and fed it to other people.
You know, I view it, same thing in churches. A few of the people who hang around with us go to church. And if you're not a member of the church, you don't tithe the church, and you show up for the free food on Wednesday night, and you show up for free daycare Sunday morning, stop complaining about the pastor, because all you are is a consumer.
Yeah, that's it.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go home, take your daycare, or get involved. If you're a volunteer, I give you some slack.
I'm going to reference this for the next couple of episodes inevitably, but there was an episode of West Wing where Charlie, some guy said something disrespectful to CJ Craig, and he slams him against the wall, and he's like, I don't mind you being disrespectful. I mind you doing it out loud. You can have opinions.
Yes.
You can have all the opinions you want, but to a certain degree, you need to actually put in even just the tiniest bit of yourself before you have the right to verbalize those opinions.
I agree.
When that comes to any form of leadership, if you're not giving something into it, come on, man or woman. This is 2020. Person, they, them, whatever your orientation. You gotta put a little bit in before you really have, before you should have that say, I think.
I would highly recommend anybody who's angry at politics, you should watch all 8 series of The West Wing. At the end, it turns a little bit into a soap opera, but it gives you hope that even in fantasy, there are people who can be an example as an actor and as a team of actors. You listen to them after the fact in the interviews with the cast, and they had a ball. They got along with each other, and it was it was so cool to see the camaraderie away from the camera as it showed in the camera.
Yeah,
and we'll watch The West Wing, and
do yourself a favor, just watch it.
There you go. Do yourself a favor, a huge favor, yeah. So, Will, I think that we have an example for us, you know, in John McCain. And we could talk about this all night, you know, and we're not going to, I don't think we're going to agree any more than we do tonight.
Just about setting a high bar for the future.
Maybe gun control, but that's about the only topic that we agree on.
Well, that one's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I think that
I'm going to piss some people off.
That we should end it on that note, that you know, who we admire. I do want to give a shout out to a few of our sponsors.
Yes. Consumerism. Capitalism. Go.
Yeah, this one is your mother.
Well, slightly biased. She's pretty awesome.
She is amazing. We were married, oh gosh, 1990. And we had no clue that she was as good a quilter as she is. We were at a show about 3 years ago, and she was a speaker at the quilt show. And I was back at the back of the hall with Susan's sister. And I leaned across and I said, "That's Susan." And she said, "I don't recognize her. I have no idea who that is." And she's an amazing, amazing lady and a great quilter. And I get to have her as a sponsor of our show. The other one who is a new sponsor to the show, this is Kelly and Dottie Hardy. And I'm going to give a little bit of a story to this, and then I'm going to give more next week. These are people who called me up about a week ago and said, "Hey, Dave, we want to help you. How can we do it?" And they are now a sponsor of the show. And it was really cool to hear that, because they've only watched one episode and they weren't able to do any commenting because they weren't logged into YouTube, and it would let them. They said, "We want to comment. We want to say something." I'm sure they wanted to laugh at us, but
probably
we want to thank them for being a sponsor of the Will and Dave Show. It's a, you know, we're not making any money doing this. So when somebody says, "Hey, no, we want to help you buy a microphone," it's kind of cool.
So yes, please. Thank you, sir.
Yes. The other way you can help in a huge way, it isn't giving us any money, it isn't giving us anything except for makes it a little bit easier for us to do, is hit the subscribe button. It should be on the lower right-hand side of the screen.
Subscribe, hit the little bell beside it so you get notifications whenever we post new content.
Yeah.
And if you are feeling generous with your time, please comment, talk to us, send us an email. There's links on the website to talk to us. You can comment on the YouTube videos. You can comment on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, any of those. And we would love to have a conversation with you. And it helps us with all of those various algorithms.
Algorithms. I hate algorithms. That word. You know more. That? I really do.
It's become a buzzword, and I also kind of hate it, but it's also what it is, unfortunately.
And we promise that next week we will have our snarkiness back.
Yeah, this one was a little mushy.
Yeah. We will get at each other's throats a little bit more. I don't know what we're talking about next week. We'll decide that after we get off the air.
Making this up as we go.
That's right. We also have a podcast, and actually episode 2 dropped this morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And the audio is 1 week after the live show. And so this one will be available next Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
Wherever your podcasts are found.
Yes, we're on everything except for Google and Spotify. I haven't gone on Spotify yet. I'm not sure why. I'm going to look into that this week. But
we'll be soon, though.
Yeah. So, William, any words of wisdom for us to sign off the air with?
Ugh. Just be nice to each other.
I like that.
We've got lots of people being mean for a very wide variety of reasons. Just a little more grace. I think we could all do with a little bit of it and giving out a little bit more of it.
In Flanders fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Thank you for listening to the Will and Dave Show. All of our information is easily accessible at our website, www.thewillanddaveshow.com.